I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies, and I'm not proud of my address.
We're not just building muscle, we're building men. In the quiet hours, in the unfiltered moments, in the conversations that happen before the world wakes up. This is The Gloom, where brotherhood forms in the dark so we can lead in the light, where vulnerability is strength and leadership is handed from man to man, one story at a time. Our mission is to empower, exhort, and inspire men to achieve their best selves through stories of reinvigorated male community leadership. We bring you weekly interviews with F3 Omaha PACs, ordinary men doing extraordinary things in fitness, fellowship, faith, and leadership, because we believe that every man has a story, and reinvigoration starts when that story is shared. This is The Glue in the Gloom. Shout out to our sponsors, Avior Wealth Management, Liberty Core Real Estate, Major Team Mortgage, Exclusively Eye Care, Omaha Laser Dentistry, and McNamara Law Firm. We appreciate your support.
Are you or someone you know in the market to buy a new home? Well, if so, check out Major Team Mortgage. They specialize in home purchase and refinance home loans. Their mission is to purposely empower people to experience their good life through building wealth with real estate. You know, showing up in the gloom is no different than showing up for a conversation around your future of building wealth with real estate. Join the action economy and get in the game with Sasquatch. Text or call John at 402-212-0149 to schedule a time today.
Individual NMLS number 1393750. Company NMLS number 2478164. Equal housing lender.
Now, let's get back to the gloom. All right, and we're back. Excited for this one. Coming to you again from the Nomad. If you aren't familiar, we're in downtown Elkhorn. Our man Armando has got us up in this swanky studio. And I've thought about changing the sign behind me that says giddy up, but I'm going to leave it. Yeah. Giddy up with the horseshoes. But yeah, hit up Armando if you're looking to rent an office space or entertainment space. There's a lot of three floors of fun and entertainment here, but that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about my man Cradle, recent PsyQ at Elkhorn's Finest Monday, AO. I think we could call it that. Right?
I think I like that. I'm going to make some new shirts.
Yeah, for sure. But it was just a PsyQ at the Wolf Den. And, you know, I know we've got Vespa coming on soon, but you're first. So stories about the Wolf Den, we'll get your take on it first. But would love to just hear, what was your EH journey like? Like, talk us through who EH'd you, and then what was that first workout like, and how'd you get the name Cradle?
All right. So start with EH then. So Spacebar is the guy that EH'd me.
Okay.
So kind of some history on that. He worked with my wife for many, many years.
Okay.
Kind of in that IT aspect of
it. Yeah.
And so they would talk a lot. And I was never the guy that would always go to the gym, right? It's just, I don't know if it's just the structure of it.
Yeah.
But he knew that. We've had a couple beers now and again. So we knew each other pretty well. And he reached out to me maybe on a Tuesday, right? Okay. It's like, hey, you're getting ready to launch a site called the Berm, just literally up the street from me. It's like, this is the perfect opportunity to give F3 a shot, right? Yeah. And I was like, all right. He didn't have to really convince me. He's like, all right, I'm in. I'll meet you there.
Yep.
And so that's how it started. I actually was there when they launched the Berm. So in October of 2020. So that's when I started.
Wow. So Birdman was launching the Berm, and were you an F&G?
I was an F&G that day. Yeah.
On the first day?
Yep.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, it really was. And it was different, but it was right up my eyes. Like, this is perfect. It's outside. It's different. It's got structure. Obviously, that's part of F3, but yet it's different too. It's like a guy's leading it. Whatever he wants to do to push and motivate people, they get to do that. And that just sparked a huge interest in
me. Nice.
So that kept me coming back. Just a little bit more on that. So when I started my F3 journey, I only went just once a week, you know, just to the Berm. Like, all right, I'm going to just kind of get myself into this. Yeah. Right. So I went, and it was like my fourth week. I was like, I love this. I got to start going more. Right.
Yeah.
And then of course that Thursday we were running around that track right on top. And just rolled my ankle.
Slipped
off the sidewalk, rolled it. I heard a pop, right? I heard it pop. And I was like, all these guys, they stopped that I was working out with. And they're like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah. I'm good. So I did finish the workout. There was about 12, 15 minutes. I finished it. We got through Namorama and people were like just getting ready for coffee and stuff. I just left. I could just feel my ankle swelling. So unfortunately, that kept me out of F3 for about 5 total months.
Oh, wow.
Was
it sprained, broken, or?
So it was sprained.
Okay.
So it took the doctor like 6 weeks to even say what happened, right?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, you're fine. It's not broken. Okay, great. He's like, 4-6 weeks, you'll be back at it, right? And I was like, oh, yeah, I just started this workout group. It's going to be so much fun. But he said, you did everything but break your ankle. So I like tore all the ligaments in it. So it took forever to get back into F3 because I knew it would be stressful on the ankle.
Yeah.
So it took a long time. I did a lot of walking and stuff like that around to strengthen it up.
Yeah.
And so I was out for a good 4-5 months before I got back into it. But F3, it drove me. It's like, this is a really unique group. I really want to get back out there. I want to do more. I want to learn more about these guys, about this organization.
Wow.
So it drove me to get healthier and get back out
there. How's the ankle today? Like back 100% or?
I'd say it's 100%. Every now and again, it kind of hurts.
Okay.
But I think it's back. You know, I do some running on it, you know, do rucking on it. Obviously that puts more weight on it as well. But yeah, I think it's back to normal, but it always weighs in the back of your mind, especially when you're like running around curbs or just be really careful where you're stepping off. So
yeah. And the track that you're talking about, that sidewalk, if I remember correctly, it's not, there's like a little, like kind of a jaunt in there, right? Where it's not just like a track around a football field. It's like a perfect circle. It's kind of a weird.
Yeah, it's like a little sidewalk track that goes around it. Yeah. And of course, since it was pretty new in 2020 when it started, and they didn't have the ground level with the sidewalk. And that's what really just did it for me. So,
okay. Well, we should
fun times.
Give Birdman a hard time for not scoping the ground before.
No. Exactly.
Wow. So taking back to that first day, I guess, because I remember there was a lot of hype going into the launch of the berm, right? Because I don't know if you remember, but this was the site that, you know, to launch it, Birdman basically went and filmed himself doing burpees at the park for he basically told Tater, I'm going to do burpees here until you let me launch a site. So there was a lot of hype going into it. So being an FNG and who knows how many guys, but was it overwhelming at all? Or what was that like being there on launch day?
It was overwhelming because, like you said, the number of guys that showed up for this, I mean, like, this is pretty big. I expect maybe 12 guys or something.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of guys. And the thing that was overwhelming is because I only knew one person.
Sure.
And that was Spacebar, right?
Was he there?
Yeah, he was there.
Okay.
So it was a little overwhelming because I didn't know any of the guys. And you immediately can see like the connections the guys have and how much fun they have. And just not knowing any of those guys, that was a little tricky to get around and to understand. But yeah, it was really fun. I enjoyed it. I was like, after one time, I'm like, I'm hooked. This is a lot of fun.
I love it. Well, and so let's say there were 50 guys there. I don't know, back in 2020, now there'd be 80, right? But so you do this workout. Was it difficult? Like, do you feel like it was a hard workout, like challenging for you, or was it kind of on par with where you were already at?
It was a little bit of both. It was kind of on par for what I expected because Spacebar did kind of lay out, this is kind of what it's going to be like.
Okay.
This is what you can kind of expect from the workout.
You had an idea.
Exactly. But, you know, there wasn't, I didn't work out for a few months, a couple of years before that.
Yeah.
So that next day I was super sore. I mean, I was sore where I didn't know I had muscles type of thing. So, and it was a good feeling as well. But yeah, I would say it was a difficult workout, but something exactly what I needed. Yeah. Like, this is going to push me to get to that next
level. I love it. Well, so you get done, difficult workout, and you get in the circle and there's 50 guys that you just met and they're all like, what did you say? Do you, if you remember, and then how did they land on the name Cradle?
Oh, that's funny. So I think it took a while to get a name, right? So, you know, you talk about your normal stuff, your activities, your family life, where you grew up, and then kind of the activities that you did when you're in high school, right? What were you really passionate about? And it landed on wrestling, which I did throughout junior high and high school.
Nice.
And they're like, I can't think of a name. Like, what was your favorite move? Just tell us your favorite move. And I was like, probably the cradle, just like you wrap them up and you know,
It's
got, like definitely the power moves. Like, all right,
nice
cradle. Welcome to F3.
Oh, I love it. One of my favorite, and I don't think he's local, but there's a lot of wrestlers around the nation. And I can't remember where I heard this, but there is a wrestler out there that they named Grape Smuggler because of the singlets that wrestlers wear. So I don't know. It could have been Grape Smuggler, right?
Oh, that'd have been classic.
Yeah, that would have been good. What? How did you feel initially about the name? Were you?
I was like, that's too bad. I'm like, you hear some of the other names, you're like, oh, that sounds really cool.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay. But you know, it grew on me, and it got a great story. Plus, it's something I love doing.
Yeah. So,
and it's a great conversation piece. Like a lot of people, as soon as they hear a cradle, they're like, wrestling, right? And then you start talking to like Superfly or Armbar, and then before you know it, you're an hour into a conversation talking about wrestling with those guys.
Yeah,
so it's really cool. So, one funny story, I can't remember what AO is at, and they're like, "Oh, what's your name?" I'm like, "Oh, my name's Cradle." And he paused and he's like, "Can you tell me more about that?"
Yeah,
and I go, "Oh God, he thinks I was like robbing the cradle type of thing."
Yeah, how'd you meet your wife?
Yeah,
yeah.
I was like, no, it's wrestling. It's wrestling.
It is funny because you really never know. And we have some go-tos, right? Like we do, I think if we're really struggling, you'll hear somebody say, how'd you meet your wife? And then that, and then we give you, you know, some sort of name there. But so talk me through, because the other thing I noticed, I think if I'm not mistaken, your Twitter handle has something about Farmhand or... Right? Or
no, it's just my first and middle name, really.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay.
I can't remember why I thought it was something to do. So back, if you back up then before F3 and before college and all that, you high school wrestler, what else did you do to stay fit over the years?
Yeah. So I did. So I'm, you know, 5'4", right? Yeah. So I'm not a big dude, right? Yeah. So I didn't play football in high school, but I did wrestling, like I said, throughout junior high, high school, and then I did track as well.
Okay.
So for track, I ran. Okay. So this is, so you know, if you did track, right, the great thing is you're gone out of school for pretty much the whole entire day. So that's a plus. That's what I always tell my son as well. But what I did, because I pretty much laid around and worked on my tan the whole day, because what I did is I did the 100,
okay,
the 200, the 400 meter relay and the 800 meter relay.
Okay.
So it was basically 2 100s and 2 200s. And then I was done.
And you were done. But you still got to be out of class and be at the track meet.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, that's awesome. So, but and you didn't play basketball. I think we established that, right?
I didn't play. I love basketball though.
Yeah.
I did it because in middle school, you could do both. You could wrestle and play basketball. So I did do both.
Okay.
Yeah. But when I got to high school, you got to make that choice.
Yeah.
Right. So all right, let's go with the logical choice here.
We were joking and I'm just sort of the king of awkwardness. And so I forget where we were at, but I just asked you like if it bothered you being 5'4", but I don't know. It seems like you developed some confidence and found things that you were good at. Right?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. It's like, this is what God gave you, right? Yeah. This is who you are, right? Yeah. I'm 5'4" and I'm bald. You just got to go with it, right?
Yeah.
You just, this is who I am. You just got to go with it. But you know, that's just part of who I am. That's not all of who I am.
Right. Yeah.
But you know, it did hurt a couple weeks ago. We were working out and then I was talking to, who was it? Squirrel. And then you run up behind us and you're like, I think he's taller than you, Cradle.
Oh yeah. It was one of Snare's kids, right?
Yeah.
OG Chipmunk. Yeah. I apologize. This is the official public apology. Well, I appreciate, I love what you said there, right? It's like, this is how God made me. I have a buddy that I at work that's like 7 feet tall. And I remember when I first met him and just naturally like, oh, did you play basketball? And he like was really quick to remind me that like, just because somebody's tall doesn't mean they play basketball. And just because like, if somebody's overweight, you don't go up to them and say, do you love to eat cheeseburgers? Right. So like, so I'm working on that, but I appreciate you being so kind and
no problem.
Open to the discussion.
What, I get it a lot. So
do you? Yeah. Well, and now I'm thinking like, why didn't they recruit you to be a psych Q at Top Rope? Because that would have been
right up my alley.
Yeah. Like, come on, guys. Because I think now the joke with the current site queue at Top Rope is, or maybe it was Haboob, that Haboob was above the height threshold because he's like maybe 5'8" or something.
Exactly. Yes.
Right? Yeah. Well, you know, just thinking about kind of the journey of fitness. So you did all that in high school, pretty fit, right? We're able to maintain good health. And then sounds like started F3. Where are you at today? Like, do you feel like you're maintaining? You feel like you're kind of striving to achieve more fitness goals? Like, what's sort of on the, like, if you look at your overall health, how do you feel today?
No, that's a great question. Overall, you know, I think my health's good, mm-hmm. but there's more that I want to do and there's more that I can't do.
Yeah.
Like this year, I've really, you know, focused on losing a little bit more weight.
Okay.
Kind of toning up just a little bit more.
Yeah.
Cause like you go see your doctor once a year and he's, this is honest. Like he's always like, well, you're overweight. Your BMI, you're overweight.
Yeah. Right?
You cause like, you know, 5'4", you weigh too much. Right. And it's never like crazy,
right.
You know, crazy out of control, but it's one of those things like, you know, as I get older, I need to be maintaining that and focusing on that a little bit more. Right. I want to be around as long as I possibly can for my family and just to enjoy life. So it's one of the things I've been focusing on, you know?
Yeah. The BMI calculation is, it's a little bit of a hoax, right? It's like, cause sometimes I'm looking at that and I'm like, what really, what is that based off of? But, how much, what's the like suggested weight for somebody your height? Like one.
So let's see. I think there's usually
140.
There's a range. I think it is 120 to 140, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, I often think, you know, I think when we're looking at all these guys in F3 and everybody's working out so hard, and then you see like the world developing all of these pharmaceuticals to like I just was watching something on YouTube about a new one that's out that can basically burns your visceral fat without you having to do anything. And we're basically getting close to, I was joking with a colleague this morning that like, this is the American dream, right? Like people want to take a pill and, or give me a shot and I don't want to have to do anything. But I think all of the benefits that we see from working out and being out there are just, those will always prevail in my mind. I don't know. What do you
think? Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah. I totally agree. It's just, you get to that point, you got to put in the effort.
Yeah.
And that's what I always tell myself sometimes as well. You got to put in the effort. You know, I tell my son that, you know, as he's, you know, playing basketball and at schoolwork as well. It's like, nothing comes really easy. You have to put in that work, mm-hmm. right? And you look around and you see some people that are just like natural talent. But if you get to know these guys, they put in just as much work as the next guy, right? They know it can be taken away just like that. So they want to work hard.
Yeah.
And I think it's important, like when we're out there working out every single day, whether you're a site queue or just out there working out, you have to lead by example, you know, encourage guys, push guys.
Yeah. I notice I try not to dog it too much, but there are some days where you show up and you're like, okay, I made it. I made it and I'm moving my feet. But I would be curious, you know, when you were leading a Monday site. Historically, Mondays were kind of a Murph day, right? Yeah. And so I think you were one of the first non-Murph Monday sites, right? Sort of out in the West. How do you feel about the Murph? Talk me through, like, what were some of the fitness things within F3 that you found yourself gravitating to?
One was running. I've always enjoyed running. Like when I was in college, you know, I would always over lunch hour. After school, I'd go to the local park and try to get 3, 4, 5 miles in. Oh, nice. So that was one of the things I wanted to start doing a little bit more is getting back into running as well.
Okay.
I haven't done much of the Murph, to be honest with you. Like, again, before I took over, investment, I took over at the Wolf Den, you know, Mondays were kind of like my day off. It's like after the weekend. But then like when the Wolf Den opened up, it was basically my backyard.
Oh, nice.
So I was like, I didn't have an excuse not to go.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just great facilities around there too. It's like when you're planning to work out, it's, you can do almost anything.
Yeah.
Right. So it's a great site. So that kind of got me out on Mondays to start working out more and getting more days of the week to work out as well.
Yeah. I love it. You know, it's so funny because we'll be out there. There are days where we've been out on that field and you're just the way they've got that field, the football field situated with the sunrise and then the turf is so nice. And you're sort of like, how are we even allowed to be out yeah. here right now? Like, it's pretty cool.
But. Yeah, it's a super nice facility. It's, we're glad to be out there.
Yeah. Now, on the running front, have you, how are you doing there? Are you making progress? Like, have you been able to get to halfway house or do any of those sorts of things?
I haven't been
to
the halfway house for a while. I do a lot of running over my lunch hour or like after work.
Like still today even?
Yep, today.
Okay.
So a lot of times I'll be running around Lake Flanagan. I'm probably half a mile from Lake Flanagan.
Okay.
So
you just prefer that or just have more time then? Or
yeah, just have more time. Okay. You know, I'm not a fast dude. I'm like, maybe like around 9 minute miles. Yeah. So nothing like these stallions that we have that like seven and a half.
Yeah.
So I can kind of go at my pace and just kind of get out and enjoy. Get some fresh air, enjoy that. And it's funny, there's a couple times I was running out of planning. I ran into Slapshot a couple times. He was out there running.
Yeah.
And then I think Flatstick was out there one time too. So there's so many guys that now that you know through F3 and they'll be running on the weekends or something, then boom, there you go. You're running and you start talking to them for a while.
Yeah. I love Flanagan Lake. That's a nice place to run. It is interesting because I think we haven't ventured into like, well, we did once in the history of F3 Omaha, right? Like an evening workout. But mm-hmm. you wonder if there was like a, hey, we're going to run on Tuesday nights at this spot. Like if we would get guys to do that. Oh, be an interesting experiment.
It would be interesting. I think there'd be guys that do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I know
sometimes it's convince guys to get out there, right?
Exactly. Sometimes it's tough, you know, with kids' activities and stuff like that. But, you know, especially in the summer, I think it would take off.
Yeah.
I know, what was it, the Armory, when they first launched, I think it was like 2 weeks before the launch, they did a Thursday evening one.
Yeah, and like a happy hour to follow or something. I remember seeing pictures of those guys.
There were a bunch of guys that came out for that. I know my son was playing soccer right over there. I just told my wife, I'm like, hey, I'm going to drive separate. I'm going to do this workout.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, Gator's in charge now, so he'll have to figure that out.
Exactly. That's why he gets paid the big bucks.
That's right. Well, I love hearing just all the different things, right? Because one of the things we do really well in F3 is we have like a plethora of options and opportunities. And so it's interesting to see what guys tap into.
What's it like to love your dentist? Well, you're about to find out where healthy smiles go beyond your teeth. No drilling, no needles, and no anxiety. Relax, it's Omaha Laser Dentistry. Welcome to better. At Omaha Laser Dentistry, Dr. Bullenparty uses the Soleya laser, a CO2 laser that's used in all of his day-to-day patient care. He provides thorough exams, assessments, and treatments for things like snoring, tethered tissue, and extractions like wisdom teeth, as well as other surgeries. Check him out today at omahalaserdentistry.com. Discounts may be available for F3 Omaha members.
But talk me through, you know, so you mentioned, right, you knew one guy when you joined the groups on that fellowship piece. And it's funny, you mentioned like when you first show up as an F&G, you see all the guys and the perception is like all these guys are best friends. You
know? Exactly. That's what it felt like.
And so I would be curious, like, what did you do to sort of build some friendships or relationships in the group?
I started, you know, I wasn't a very open person and I guess still kind of closed off a little bit, right?
Yeah.
But F3's really helped out with that. So I just kind of broke the ice with like, oh, you know, what's your name? How long have you been here?
Yeah.
You know, what type of guidance can you give me as I'm trying to ramp up my F3 journey?
Yeah.
And then it was really just kind of that, like, are you married? Kids, oh, you have a 12-year-old as well. That's great. You know, where they, you know, you just kind of make those kind of scratch the surface type of conversations, right? And then as you get more comfortable and then you see them, you can kind of take that a little bit further and like, oh, you know, I saw you at the store too. That's great. You know, and then you just kind of like, hey, do you want to maybe pre-run at some point or do you want to, you know, grab lunch at some point, kind of dig in and kind of forge those relationships.
I love it. I think that's the right way to do it. You know, I think it's funny because a lot of times, like a lot of us have been doing F3 together for a long time, right? And yourself included now. And we're friendly and we are curious. And so we're always like asking guys, but when a new guy shows up and they're perceiving that we're all like best friends, the reality is like, we just work out together, right? We've posted a lot and we're not, you know, some of us have those closer friendships, but chances are we're probably not all best friends hanging out every night of the week, or, you know, there are pockets of that, but How long do you think it took you before you got comfortable to kind of engage in some more of those conversations? Obviously, I'm guessing the 50 guy launch day, or I don't know, maybe a little less, like just trying to watch and observe.
Just kind of watch and observe. Yeah. Just kind of see what's actually taking place outside of the workout.
Yeah.
Right. Because I kind of noticed right away that it was, you know, these guys work out and this is great, but there's like a lot more going on. Cause like, like I mentioned before, they were having like really deep conversations and they're like, oh, I saw your wife. Ha ha. And like, I remember in high school, like, wow, these guys must really know each other.
Yeah.
So in me, I grew up in Weeping Water. So a lot of these guys went to high school and almost like they knew each other. Right.
Oh, yeah.
So, and that was one of the things too. I'm like, I got to dig in a little bit deeper, talk to more guys, open up about things. And when you do that, and when I did that, that's when a lot more people would open up to you, start asking you questions, you know, reach out to you via text if you wanted to do freestyle. They just kind of felt more comfortable. And they're like, okay, it looks like he's trying to reach out a little bit more. We should do the same.
Yeah.
You know, so I encourage a lot of new guys to do that as well.
Yeah. Was coffee would have been on site at the berm, right? Was coffee something that you were able to go to, or are you a coffee drinker? I guess I should ask.
That's a great question. it's funny. So next month, it would be 5 years in F3 for me.
Okay.
And it was only like in the last year that most people even realized that I didn't drink coffee.
So you never have drank coffee.
All right. So this is a funny story, and this is maybe why I'm 5'4", right? So I grew up for the first 5-6 years in Ravenna, Nebraska on a ranch.
Okay.
And I was, maybe this is why F3 works great, because I was up early with my dad.
Yeah.
Right. So like he was out there feeding cows and doing all this other stuff. And I was like, no, I want to get up and I want to go too.
Okay.
You know, get me in that tractor. I'll feed some cows. And then, you know, about 8 o'clock, they'd come back in and they had breakfast. So they would have donuts and coffee. I'm like, I'm a guy.
Yeah.
I want donuts and coffee. So I was sitting there drinking coffee, and I remember mom's going like, is that really good for him? And I was fine.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why I'm 5'4". Maybe that is not an urban myth. Maybe
it's stunted your growth. Is your son, how tall is your son?
He's taller than I am. I think he's like 5'5" right now.
Okay. Yeah. And he's 12.
He's 12. Yeah.
Maybe it did. Oh, that's wild. That would be, we'll never know. Right. We'll
exactly. Know.
That is funny. So you used to drink coffee. At what point did you stop drinking coffee?
I would probably say when I started, it was weird, but when I started like working full time, probably like mid 20s, maybe about 20 years ago, I was like,
okay,
I don't even think I'd like this stuff. You know, I just didn't
like
really.
That's like the time most people start drinking
exactly.
coffee.
I'm just different. Sorry, Plague. I'm just different. But I just like, I don't really dig this stuff. I'd rather have, you know, a water or maybe even a soda or something like that, you know, just to kickstart the day.
Yeah.
So other than that, most of the time I usually get, if it's cold, I get a hot chocolate when we go out for coffee or just bring in my water with me.
Yeah. So did you go to coffee and just drink water? Like you just kind of hung out, or what, how did you navigate that? Or were you like, I'm not going because I don't like coffee?
I was like, this could be weird.
Yeah.
They might say you're not part of F3 because you don't like coffee. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. We spend a lot of money on coffee.
Exactly. Exactly. But no, it wasn't too terribly weird. I was like, oh, no, I'm good. You know, but yeah, it was fine. No one said anything until they like I said, within the last year, I think is when we started doing more on-site coffee. I'm like, no, I'm good. I actually don't even drink coffee.
Yeah.
And then that's, you know, then all the heads start turning and looking at you. I think there's only a handful of us that actually don't drink coffee at F3.
Yeah. That's like you should have a separate like Slack channel for guys that don't drink coffee. Cause I feel like Mufasa maybe doesn't drink.
Oh, that's right. Mufasa. Yeah. He doesn't.
Interesting. Interesting. I'll have to pay closer attention. I just assume, you know,
most people do. There's another guy in Bennington that doesn't drink coffee as well. Can't think of his name right now, but
we'll have to get you guys all together. It is funny. You just like assume people drink coffee, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Why not? But hot chocolate, I would say occasionally in the fall and in the winter, I will get whatever the foo-foo drink is at Starbucks. And I'm sure I would be better off if I just got regular hot chocolate, right? I would still get the sweet taste and there's caffeine in hot chocolate, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lots of sugar. It works.
I love it.
It's delicious.
So as you got to know guys, then were you able to like build some additional relationships? Like, have you gotten in a shield lock or had anything kind of like that at all?
Not a shield lock yet. Not in a shield lock.
Yeah.
So I haven't took that leap within my F3 journey yet. But I know a lot of guys, especially out in the West Corridor.
Yeah.
Have started shield locks. They've been in F3 for a couple of years and they've just started them as well. So okay. I don't know, if that opportunity arises, I'd definitely be into it. Yeah. But I don't have one right now.
Yeah. The shield lock is such an interesting thing. They, at least in my experience, right? Sometimes they form, you know, like you find a guy, right, that you have similarities with, maybe same season of life, and you say, you know, kind of share a little bit more, go a little bit deeper, add some accountability. But I think the one I'm in right now just formed organically from just going to book studies and just kind of noticing guys that I was on the same page with. So I don't know. Well, you're a veteran now, right? At 5 years, so you might. Maybe you initiate that.
I think I need to.
Yeah.
No, I think it's definitely a good thing to have those shield locks. The guys that I talk to, the accountability piece is probably the biggest thing that they get out of it.
Yeah.
And just having that group of guys, because a lot of them do, they'll get together, they'll barbecue together and have their families and their kids meet as well. So I think it's just another way to get close, be vulnerable with other people. And then having your M's actually kind of be a part of F3 as well.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times they don't know much about what's going on besides what we tell them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, that's a perfect segue, because we often, when we're talking about fellowship, we like to think about all the relationships in your life. So it would be curious, like when you think about the family life, like what do they think of all this F3 stuff? And I don't know, has it impacted those relationships at home at all?
Yeah, it definitely has impacted them. At first, my wife didn't like it because my alarm kept going off at, 4:30, 4:45, know, and then as the sites went from 5:30 to 5:15, this kept going earlier and earlier, but she's used to it now. I think she just sleeps through my alarm. So we're good there.
Yeah.
But yeah, for the first couple of years, I mean, she was just like, oh, you're going again. Okay. This is, I mean, this is good. Obviously this is something you like, something you're really engaged in, and I see you texting a lot of people on issues. It's good, because I got to that point in my life, as you get older as well, just with other responsibilities, work, school, and kids, you just kind of get away from going out and meeting new people outside of your neighbors, pretty much, right?
Yep.
So it was good to branch out and to meet new guys with different experiences other than your own, right? Or just sitting there and talking with your neighbors as well.
Yeah.
And it was a couple, that was actually last summer, I believe. I was talking to a couple of my neighbors about F3. Like, well, I'm going in early. You guys have fun, but I'm going in early. I'm going to go work out tomorrow morning. All right. So we started chatting about it before I went in. And my wife goes, one thing that I've noticed about Cradle.
Yeah. Does she call you Cradle?
Sometimes.
Only when you're in trouble.
Exactly.
Only when you wear the singlet around the house.
Which is every day. I have multiple colors. That's awesome. I wear it to the store, the gas station. It's awesome.
Why wouldn't you, right? I love it.
And she said probably him being open more.
Oh, yeah.
Like he doesn't shy away from how he feels. And he's not being rude about it.
Yeah.
He's just more thoughtful and constructive with what he's saying,
what
he likes and what he doesn't like. She goes, that's probably one of the biggest things that I've noticed from F3 with him.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And what a cool thing, right? Because, I mean, I don't know, at least in my marriage, communication is always like the thing we're working on. So for us as men to be more open and you know, a little bit more, I don't know if direct is the right word, but just a little more clear on like what we're thinking, what we're feeling. I guess, from your perspective, what in F3 might have caused that? I know it's probably hard to pinpoint, but what would you say might have helped with?
You know, it's not really hard to pinpoint.
Okay.
I would say it's the COTs that some of the guys have.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's like some of them, you know, you go and you're like, oh, it's, you know, just scratching the surface. You know, I saw this. This is how I feel. Like some of the guys, they talk about real stuff that's happened to them, right? And they could have been in F3 for 2 months or 2 years, and you just don't know, right? And then like it's time for their VQ, or maybe it's some type of anniversary within their personal life that they're having, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, I feel comfortable to now say this.
Yeah.
And then that's what helped me along that personal journey for me as well.
Yeah.
Because like these guys are talking about that in a circle of 10, 15, 25 guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then some of these are like even FNGs that are in that circle. And hearing these stories, it's amazing. These guys are brave to do that. And this is something that I need as well.
Yeah.
You know, cause I don't want to be shut off as a person, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's helped communication, you know, helped with the marriage as well. It's just being, like you said, not direct, but communicating better, choosing your words better, and not just, you know, if something's bothering you, not just sitting on it, not just sitting on your hands, actually communicating about it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I love that observation. And I think you're onto something there, cause it is like, you just see that example and then you see it over and over and over again from guys of all different walks of life, all different, you know, levels of tenure within the organization. And you realize like, oh, this is something that men do, you know? And I think we're maybe conditioned a little bit from society or our upbringing that that's not what men do, but you kind of relearn that like, oh yeah, this is like totally fine and appropriate for me as a man to do. What I know you've mentioned your son. You have one son?
One son, correct.
Okay. Just one kid?
Yeah, just one kid.
And he's 12?
He is 12.
Have you gotten him out to a workout or what's he think of this whole
thing? Not yet.
Okay.
So it was like two winters ago. He was just gung-ho. He really wanted to do it. And I said, I'm not going to bring you out when it's 10 degrees. No. I go, that's.
I should get turned in.
Like, yeah, I don't think mom's going to be on board with this either. Yeah,
right.
But I said, you wait 2 months. It'll be spring. It'd be like 40, 50. Let's do it.
No.
But then by that time, I couldn't get him out of bed.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, oh, but I plan on getting him out though.
Okay. Does he, so he's still kind of interested or?
Yeah, he is.
Okay.
He is. He has a couple of my F3 shirts.
Okay.
Like I ordered them and then they're like way too small for me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I was like, here, here's a shirt. So he wears it all the time. And like some people are like, hey, it's an F3 shirt.
Yeah. That's funny. Do you have nicknames in mind already that you want to give him or you're just going to let it happen?
We'll have to let it happen.
Okay.
You know, when he does get out, if someone listens to his podcast, I don't want them like, oh, we can't have that name.
Yeah.
That's you know what I mean?
That's smart.
But no, I think every dad thinks of that. So yeah, I have a couple that I've kicked around.
Yeah, that is cool.
Liberty Core Real Estate is your homegrown real estate broker. If you're looking to buy or sell real estate, whether personal or investment, Armando, aka Brian, and Megan Michaels' company is ready to serve you. With Command Center in Old Town Elkhorn and agents all throughout the metro, they are more than ready to guide and serve you in your next real estate endeavor. Whether your next move needs to happen now or in 5 years, call or text Armando at 402-770-2165 to get your questions answered. In a special offer for F3 Nation PAX members, Liberty Core will donate $250 to your sponsor of choosing for every closed transaction. Stop looking, start finding today with Liberty Core Real Estate.
I don't know why this is coming to mind, but there's this guy, maybe you've heard of Arthur C. Brooks. He's like a famous, he's like a human behavior neuroscientist at Harvard Business School. And he was talking about the four habits of happiness, right? He's like a happiness scientist. And he basically said faith, family, friends, and work, which I thought was funny how much that aligns with F3. But and he was talking in the way he defined faith was like exactly how F3 defines it, right? Which is just believing in something bigger than yourself. And I would be curious, like from your perspective, what's been your journey on that third F, that faith piece, like and take us back a little bit. Did you grow up with that being part of your life and kind of curious where you're at today?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think it's the toughest of the threes as well.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, to kind of take you back. So I went to First Congregational Church pretty much my whole entire life. That's a Presbyterian church.
In Weeping Water?
In Weeping Water. That's correct. Yeah. Yeah. So I went through their high school, early part of college until I moved out. And so I kind of went away from, you know, church. I didn't go to church for a while when I first moved to Omaha. And then when I met my wife, just dating at the time, obviously.
Yeah.
It was funny. It was probably 2 months into dating. She goes, hey, you want to go to church? And it was like a Saturday night. And I was like, yeah, sounds good. You know, I've kind of been thinking about that too. It's been something I haven't done a number of years, but I have faith and I believe in it. I think this would be great to get back into it.
Yeah.
So yeah, for the first couple months when we were dating, like Saturdays, we would just go to the 6 o'clock mass.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I think it's just a way to learn and grow.
Yeah.
You know, it's like taking that, you know, it's it was interesting. Like I said, it was about 2 months into the relationship. Like still that everything's pretty new. And then if you're like, hey, you want to go to church?
Yeah.
That was, it was interesting. Cause I've, you know, all the women I've dated, it's like, we never,
that hasn't come up before.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I was like,
that's how you knew she was the one, right?
Exactly.
Oh man. Wow. So, so that was in college, right?
Yeah.
And then, so then you guys got married and what, like, what's been your journey since then?
Since then, to be honest with you, we haven't really went to church much in the last few years. Yeah. I don't know. Honestly, you know, I keep hearing the guys in the circle, in the group talking about it and how they're getting re-engaged with their faith.
Yeah.
Right. And sometimes it's, you know, mass, and other times it's relevant. You know, it's just finding what is important to you and what you need at that time and then continuing that journey.
Yeah.
So I think that's where I'm at right now. It's just trying to re-engage and kind of fire up that third F again.
Yeah. Yeah. And what a perfect place, right? I mean, I think F3, you know, recently heard several guys, right, just talking about how it's a non-judgment zone, and there's not, there are no expectations, right? So you just have this wealth of guys you could ask what they're doing or what their experience is. And then you decide, right? Like you said, what's best for you and your family. I think, you know, it's funny because we moved out here to Elkhorn, in 22, and we still go to our old church that's back, you know, and, you know, we're really there because that's where my in-laws go, but we've really been talking lately about, you know, how do we make church part of our community? Like, could we go to church somewhere where we live? And I think a lot of the reason why we haven't pushed on that is because I feel like F3 really is like, I have a community of people that I know and ways to get involved. And I guess on that front, would be curious, have you, like, so the other side of the third F, right, with all the volunteer stuff that we do, have you had a chance to engage in any of that stuff or?
Yeah. Yeah, I have. And that's one of the things that gets me going is I've always been part of volunteer groups since basically early on in my career. You know, that's how I kind of started to get to know people. Again, you know, I grew up in a small town. Mm-hmm. A lot of my friends still live there or they moved to different cities, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, I need to find a group and meet new people. So I was on different nonprofit boards with like the Omaha Chamber and young professional groups. And I probably did that for 12 to 14 years.
Wow.
Until I turned 40, and then technically you're no longer young.
Oh,
those ISO.
So you can't be on our group because you're not young anymore. Oh no.
But yeah, it was a great opportunity to just learn a lot about professionalism and your community.
Yeah.
And, but again, even with those groups, pieces that I was hoping for and that I just couldn't define were missing yet. Hmm. And then when F3 came about, and I really started kind of digging my heels into F3 and getting to know guys, getting to understand, like picking the book up, reading it, like truly understanding where this came about. What is the purpose? It all started aligning. It's like, okay, I've had these things, but it's all starting to align. Like, this is what I wanted. Like, this is what I've been looking for.
Yeah.
And once you do that, you jump right in. Like a lot of things, anything that like F3 does, you're like, hey, how can I be a part of that?
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I love about those volunteer opportunities as well. Is giving back to your community, I think, is one of the most important things you can do.
Yeah.
You know, and as you have kids, obviously, and a lot of us do. And I think leading by example, and you're like, hey, dad, where are you going? It's 8 o'clock. Well, I'm going to, you know, go to the food bank and help out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I can tell you firsthand, we have not, you know, we just the ages of our kids is the excuse, but we have not done as good a job as we would like to have with volunteer stuff, right? Most of our philanthropy is monetary at this point. But I will tell you, I had a conversation with my 10-year-old not too long ago, and it was apparent to me that we have not exposed her to enough of the world to where she's realizing like kind of how good she has it. And so I, like my wife and I were like, okay, we need to start doing more, because I think it helps them to see, right? Like there are people in need, right? So if you're not in need, then you need to be grateful for that, right?
And exactly,
and find a way to serve those less fortunate. But, you know, just was thinking through. Have you ever looked at like the F3 Omaha Foundation getting involved there? Because you've got all this experience being on different boards, and they would, I don't think they would tell you you're too old.
That's know. Good.
yeah. I think they would welcome the.
Oh, that's awesome. That's a great idea. I mean, obviously I know of the foundation. That's a great idea to reach out to someone and see what, you know, even the beginning opportunities there, maybe inside of.
Yeah,
start small and then kind of work my way up.
Yeah, well, I'll have to connect you with Jean-Claude, because I know that at one point they were looking for guys to help in various capacities, and you've got, it sounds like, some great experience until you aged out of the of the young professionals. That's funny to me. Like, you're too old and now we don't want your help. Like, okay.
Yeah, this is our age group. So now that you're 40, you're too old.
Oh man. Yeah. Well, you know, the other thing, you know, we often talk about too, and you mentioned Freed to Lead. But like our mission, right, to invigorate or reinvigorate male community leadership. And just a side note on that, right, if guys don't remember this or know this, but the reason it's listed in different spots, in different terms, is really goes back to Dredd and OBT that couldn't agree on which it was. And so just know that it's okay if you say reinvigorate or invigorate. But we talk about invigorating male community leadership. We think about like leadership opportunities and maybe your VQ or leading a site, but would love to hear like, what was your experience and maybe how do you feel like you've grown as a leader?
I would say tenfold, to be honest with you. It's helped out a lot just from like a confidence standpoint.
Yeah.
You know, you have these ambitions, but sometimes you just don't know how to do it or you just don't have the confidence to do it. Sure. Right. So like talking about like my first VQ, I remember, so it was January 3.5 years ago at the Armory.
Okay.
So I remember Gator reached out. It's like, hey, I have an opening. You want a queue? I'm like, oh yeah, sounds great. And then it was like, I don't know, a couple hours or a day later, he texted back. He's, I don't see any record of you ever queuing. Is this going to be your VQ? Like, yeah, I didn't even tell him. I was like, I just didn't want to draw attention to it. And I was like, yeah, he's like, oh, this is awesome. You know? And I think it was January. So it was pretty cold out.
Yeah.
We had like 20 guys. Oh, I was so nervous, you know, just super nervous.
Did you sleep the night before?
Not well.
No, yeah.
Not well. And I was like, all right. It's like, no, I've went over this for like 2 weeks. I got the whole workout, you know, and I went down there and I actually took my son to my, like, the Tahazuka Park and like walked around. I was like, this is what I'm going to do, you know, just to make sure I had it down pat. Right. Yeah. And then of course you're doing like the welcoming and the five core principles. And of course I forgot one of the five core principles. Uh-oh. So then it's like, you get this look on your face, like,
shit. Yeah.
And I remember Tater was there. Right. Uh-huh. And he was like, I go, men, we're open all men.
Open all men.
I was like, funny. The one I forgot, open all men. Yeah.
That is funny.
But I was like, okay, if that's the worst that can happen, then that's not too bad.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
So I tell like when we had the Wolf Den, I was like, the VQs, I said, you don't ever worry about that. It's like, if you want a VQ, do it. If you need to have it written down or have it on your phone or whatever, do it.
Write it down.
Whatever's going to make you feel good to get through that first one, just do it.
Yeah. Everything else go okay at your VQ though?
Yeah. Yeah. Everything else went pretty well.
As far as you can remember, right?
Yeah.
It's funny because sometimes those are like, there's so much buildup and then it goes by so quick and you're like, oh, it's over. And then, that's I think what creates a little bit of that, you know, what we call Q-phoria, where you're like, now I want to queue again. Right.
Exactly. You see it with a lot of guys. They get that VQ. A lot of the VQs happen pretty early on within their journeys. Now it's like within 3 months, they're like, yep, let me do it. And then after they do it, they're talking to every site queue within, you know, 20 minutes of where they live. And they're like, When's your next opening?
Yeah.
You know, we had a lot of that too with Bennington guys.
Yeah.
We're like, shoot, yeah, let me take a look at the schedule and I'll shoot you a text and let you know what we have, you know?
Yeah, it's hard for us old timers to get on the queue schedule anymore. I know between the new guys and between Stripes taking all the spots, I don't know if any of us can queue anymore. But
I know. I gave Speed Bump a really hard time when he had Beacon Valley that for sure. I'm like, I'm trying to. I can't get on there because he asked me, I can't. It's booked all the way through.
Yep. And I don't know what I'm doing next July, right? You know, it's funny how our site queues do a really good job of filling the schedule. And I would love to hear, I guess talk me through, how does something like that VQ and maybe working through some of those kinks, like how does that translate to leadership just in your day-to-day life, like maybe at work or at home? What do you think?
I mean, simply put, it's mistakes are going to happen.
Yeah.
Right. My VQ forgot one of the five core principles.
Yeah.
But guess what? I can't just hang my head, get in my car and leave.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a group of guys here and I have to finish what I started.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So someone helps you out, get you back on track, mm-hmm. and then you continue to run with it. Right. Yeah. And you know, and so that's one of the things I think helps with my leadership.
Yeah.
Is because there are bumps in the road. There's going to be bumps in the road always, mm-hmm. but you just got to be, have faith that you're going to get through that, find different ways to get through that, learn from the past,
yeah.
and then continue to move forward. Don't let it hold you back. Don't let it scare you. Don't let it discourage you from taking on new challenges.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. And it's such a valuable skill. And I think the longer I've been in F3 and the longer I've been in a formal leadership role at work, it never fails, right? The number of times you come up with a plan, and even at home, right? You come up with a plan and I'm kidding you, it never goes. You could have the best plan in the world. You could have thought through every risk and mitigation strategy, and there will still be something that you didn't plan for. You
know? Exactly.
So I think that flexibility piece, because I was just talking to a colleague this morning that was having a conversation with a team member, and the team member responded in a way that she wasn't expecting, and it's totally caught her off guard. And I'm thinking like, no, that's a good experience, right? We got to learn from all that. So I love that you called that out.
Yeah. Another example is, like you said, flexibility. Mm-hmm. I think it was the launch of the bullpen.
Oh, yeah.
I was queuing at the berm the same day.
Okay.
Right? So they kind of opened that to take pressure off the berm.
Yeah.
So, and I was like, well, it's like, the berm got so many guys. There'll probably be 8 to 10 at least. I'll plan a workout for that. You know, I had coupons on top of the hill and all this other stuff, right? And I roll in, there's like no pre-runners whatsoever. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh. And I think there's ended up being like 3 or 4 guys.
Oh, wow.
So the flexibility piece is like, all right. So in my mind, it's like, all right, let's go to the court. We'll do some warm around it. And, you know, I'm trying to count. I'm thinking at the same time. And I was like, Schnitzel was the cue, the side cue at the time. And I was like, hey, I'm scrapping this whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, we're just going to do a string of pearls. And, you know, just that flexibility.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know what? I got this.
Yeah.
I have to lead this group of men. So I still need to make sure that I'm doing a good job for them.
Yeah.
You know, and it was probably one of the most memorable cues that I've ever done, just right. because it was one of those small ones with a tight group of people.
Yeah.
And just happened to change and still like, you know what? That turned out really well. Yeah. We all got a great workout in. We've actually had a chance to really get to know this small group of guys.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's so good that I don't even know what my COT was about that time. And then that turned into a conversation during coffee. And like, we were there past 7 o'clock.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's cool. And that to me, right? I mean, the mission is clearly focused on small workout groups, and we're trying to get them to be small, but we just, you know, it's like, we can't keep up. We can't launch them fast enough. Right. So it's been this interesting thing, but I would totally agree. Like those workouts where there's like, you know, maybe like 8 or less guys, and you really, you know, I know the book Free to Lead says 19 or whatever, but I think if you've got 8 or less guys, or even like 4 or 5, just you're able to then, I think the fellowship in the workout becomes what most guys experience, like on a pre-run or on a ruck, or, you know, where it's really that
exactly.
like deeper conversation. You can get to that level if there's fewer guys, but if there's 20, 30 guys at a workout, good luck. You can't get very deep, you know, at least not in my experience.
But. No, I could totally agree. There's been times that, you know, you have 25, 30 guys at a workout and you didn't even know, like, I didn't even know the plague was here until Name or Emma.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's wild. Well, what about, so you got to be the psych Q at the Wolf Den. You had a Vespa was your partner in crime.
Exactly.
So talk us through that experience and maybe what did that teach you that you were able to translate to other areas of life?
Okay. Well, couple things. I got some stories to start with.
Yeah.
So,
And these are all true. So
these are all true. This is one that you came up, but you don't even know this one. So you're going to hear it for the very first time.
Okay.
All right. So out of Beacon Valley, T-Swift was out. It was right when school went out.
Yep.
So I went out there like, I'll go out to Valley. I'll, you know, support T-Swift and, you know, did the workout. We were hanging out and I was like, dude, when is the flag pass for the Wolf Den? It's like, I haven't heard anything about that yet. I know it's going to be coming up. And he goes, oh yeah, we're going to do it X day. I'm like, who's taking it over? He's like, oh, we asked Vespa and he's going to do it. I'm like, okay. And so we were chatting a little bit more and I was like, I was thinking, I was like, your school, Westbrook and Elkhorn North Ridge, would be perfect sites. We started talking about it, kicking this around. And he goes, you should run with that. It's like, you should reach out to Blake. I bet he'd be all over it, right? And so I was thinking about it. And then at the Armory, a couple of days later, I ran to Vespa.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, I heard you're taking over Wolf Dad. That's awesome, man. Congratulations. And I was like, hey, are you just doing it by yourself then? Or do you have someone that, you know, it's like, well, right now I'm doing it by myself, but like with work, it would be nice to have someone there.
Yeah.
And then he's like, have you ever site queued before? I was like, no. He's like, oh, okay. And then the workout started. And I was like, and this is something that I've kind of been kicking around for a while. And
right.
It's like, yeah, talking to someone about how do I be a site queue? Like, mm-hmm, how does this process work?
Yeah.
And then throughout the workout, I couldn't even pay attention. I'm like, this is an opportunity. This is like opportunity knocking at your door, right?
Yeah.
You know, if he's looking for someone, an opportunity to work, to be at the Wolf Den, a site that I love, you know, mm-hmm, like this is a great opportunity. So remember after the workout, ran up to him and say, hey, if you're looking for someone, I'm your man.
Yeah.
You know, like count me in. Nice. He's like, really? That's awesome. You know, so he's really excited about that. And I said, well, just reach out to like T Swift, the greenhouse, make sure that, you know, that's cool with them as well. And I didn't hear anything all day long. I was like, oh man, maybe they don't want me there. Yeah. And then it was like after school, like T Swift reached out. He's like, you're going to be in a site queue with Vespa, the Wolf Den?
Yeah.
He's like, he goes, I thought you were talking about opening your own site. And I was like, I thought about it, but it's like to be a site queue at one of your favorite sites,
yeah,
is pretty special all on, mm-hmm, its own. And I said, I'm going to take this opportunity to run with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, having those and then talking about that kind of transition with that leadership piece,
because
there's a lot to do as a site queue.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
You got to, you know, all the Twitter stuff, make sure your schedule's full and making sure that you know everything that's going on within F3.
Yeah.
Because like when you have announcements, you got to make sure you're announcing those things that are happening so the guys know about it. And one of the things that I kind of took away from that, and I wanted to be kind of like a really active, and yeah, again, to get to know the guys and to make sure that, hey, there are people that care about you, people that know you and want other people to acknowledge what you've done.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I did when I was a site queue is I'd always go through that list on PaxNet. Like whenever there was an anniversary, yeah, and I knew those guys were probably going to be at the Wolf Den or show up, you know, pretty frequently,
yeah,
I would always call them out like during announcements.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like
I got a cupcake, I think. Yeah.
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 Yeah. You got a cupcake. Yeah. Yeah, that's anniversary. I don't know if Dick is doing that, but I'll have to talk to him.
You should.
I know. Yeah. That's what I wanted to do. Start a new tradition there. I hope the cupcake thing sticks.
Yeah. That's awesome. I love the passion and the excitement. And you hear mixed, you know, some guys are like, oh, it's not that much work. And it's really not that much work, but it is super important, right? Because you don't, exactly, know who's showing up, even at, you know, FNG or some, maybe it's a guy who's been doing F3 for years, but is going through whatever, you know, that life's bringing him. And so for him to have those site cues and leaders to look to for support or acknowledgement or whatever they might need, I just love the passion. And, you know, like you took it serious, which I think is, you know, what made you such a good leader. But how does all that translate to everyday life for you now, do you think?
Well, let's see, from a professional standpoint, you know, I just kind of bring that back with me as well.
Yeah.
You know, getting to know the team a little bit better that I work with.
Yeah.
Like, so I work from home, so it's all remote. So that's a little bit more difficult because, mm-hmm, you know, working out, you're with the guys.
Yeah.
A lot of times you're in the office, but we're not in the office any longer.
Yeah.
So, but we'll have a lot of like one-on-one conversations about like work, you know, we kind of pick up the phone like, hey, I got this question on this, you know, this underwriting review. Right.
Yeah.
And then it turns into like, you have the camera and you're like, oh, it looks like you're a Yankees fan. And you just kind of start talking about baseball. Just kind of getting to know those guys,
yeah,
a little bit better as well. So it's kind of transitioned into that. And like we talked about, kind of like that accountability piece, you know, mm-hmm, like, am I doing enough in my professional life as well? Can, yeah, I do more? You know, how can I help out my work team as well?
Mm.
And then just with the family, you know, kind of transition to the family, like, what more can I do? There's always more that you can do, right?
Oh.
You know, yeah. So I'm always looking for that. How can I help out my M more? You know, what can I do with my son to encourage him to be more accountable,
right,
and things like that as well. So that's how it's kind of transitioned from F3 leadership into my personal life.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's so cool, right? Because ideally the things we're learning out there in the gloom, hopefully we can translate. And I love how you've done that. You know, I think it's so cool, right? Because I think, you know, hearing some of the examples and the things that you shared, right? I don't think, guessing based on what you shared, like the Cradle 5 years ago would have said, hey, if you need help being with the site queue, I'm your guy, right? That seems like something that over the years you maybe grew into that, right?
I grew into it. Exactly. Yeah. 5 years ago, 4 years ago, or 2 years, I wouldn't have, you know what I mean? But it's just like the more I started the queue, mm-hmm. the more comfortable I got with the whole process, right? And the more I went to Shopify Pass, it's just the excitement. You're like, man, I really want to be a part of that. You know, I really want to, you care so much about F3. Like this is the way you can really give back, you know, take that flag and run it. Run with it, turn that site into the best site you possibly can, lead the way you're going to lead and mm-hmm. just kind of leave your mark. And there's been so many several flag passes like in the last few months, and the guys that are taking those flags, I'm like these are great guys taking these flags. And it's just amazing how many great leaders are that are out there. Mm-hmm. And like when we were at the Wolf Den, I remember it was January of this year, right? Mm-hmm. So we're only halfway through the year where we had the flag. And I talked to Vess, was like, hey, I know it's only January, but we probably need to start thinking of someone to take this flag.
Yeah.
Because I heard other site queues like, man, I'm having a hard time trying to find someone. Yeah, and it's not that the leaders aren't out there. It's like all the guys that are on top of their mind are either starting sites or they're picked to take another flag.
Yeah.
So I said, we got to kind of get started on this. Like we ran into that issue as well, to be honest with you. Like a couple of the guys that we had in mind, you know, went off and launched other sites. So.
Yeah. And you landed on Ditka.
Ditka. He was on our first top five list.
Did he not want a CoQ, or he just said, I'll do it myself, or how did that go down?
So we talked to Dicka first.
Yeah.
We're like, all right, so Dicka, like, we know you're the weasel. Actually, I just found this out on Saturday during our meeting. You're a weasel. Like, yeah, I am. That was
Truly's master plan. Yeah.
So with that, it's like a lot of times when you're in that role, you're looking for possibly more leadership.
Yeah.
And we're looking for someone to take the flag at Wolf Den.
Yeah.
And would you be interested in that? I say, if you want, you can totally think about it. Didn't hesitate at all.
Yeah.
Did it? I was like, he's like, no way. He's like, he just gave me like high fives and hug. I think I had 50 hugs and 50 high fives in a minute. Nice. He's like, this made my whole entire week. This is so awesome. This is something I wanted to do. I said, Mondays work out perfect just because of his travel schedule. Well, mm-hmm. like this works out the best. And he was just so excited. And then when you get that guy that's just so excited to do it, and you're like, we got him. This is the guy to do it. And he's got so much energy as well.
Yes,
so, and that's one of the things we wanted to continue with that as well, with the Wolf Den. It's like, this guy's got a ton of energy. I mean, the guys love him. He always brings people up. Like just yesterday, we were working out at the Wolf Den together, and he's a natural leader.
Yeah.
Like there's a guy that's fairly new to F3, still learning stuff. He was right by his side. He's like, oh, Merkin's a push-up.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, and then he was always right there. He was like, everyone else is zipping up and down the field, and he was just running right beside this other guy just talking. Wow. You know, he's just a natural born leader and just truly cares about the people that come out and a part of F3. He knows it's very special and wants to make sure that it's welcoming.
Yeah.
And we want you guys to come back. And if we don't talk to you, if we're not picking up that six, so to speak, you know, they're not going to feel welcome and they're not going to come back.
Right.
But like with Dicka, he's like, nope, I got it. You know, I'm going to make sure these guys feel welcome.
Yeah. He's got a ton of energy. I was there a couple weeks ago and just, it just really stood out. Like, I think definitely you picked the right guy to take over. Man, it's so cool just hearing this story, right? Over the course of, I mean, several years, but also you shared some details of life growing up. I would be curious, anything that maybe we didn't cover or any sort of like lessons learned or maybe advice that you would share for guys, just as you're sort of thinking about maybe that wisdom or insight that you could pass off to some of the guys listening.
Yeah. A couple of things we touched base on, but I'll go ahead and repeat them. It's worth repeating, is getting a little bit more vulnerable, putting yourself out there. Yeah. Just challenging yourself, whether it's doing some pre-activities to get your face out there a little bit more, get to know the guys, whether it's pre-runs, pre-rucks, coffee's a big one. Mm-hmm. You know, coffee's, if you're not going to coffee, you're not going enough, maybe like once a week or something, it's really important. I know that is what really started getting me closer to guys and opening the door for additional, you know, cues and just learning about these guys and having more time even outside of F3. You know?
And to clarify, go to coffee, but you don't have to drink coffee.
Exactly. Exactly. That's right. We talk about that very happy hour. It's like, oh, there's a happy hour, but you don't have to drink. Grab a soda, grab a water, or not have anything, but just come out. There's a great, great group of guys that come out. So,
Oh, I love it. We could talk for hours. I just want to say thank you for sharing your story and for leading. And, you know, I think it's just, it's so cool. We were talking before we got started, just every guy has a story. And I think the way you illustrated your journey is just such a cool way that I know other guys will be able to learn from. So just appreciate you taking time.
Good, I'm glad.
Taking time, you know, saying yes to that initial EH and then taking time to share your story today. Just been awesome.
Great. Well, appreciate thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Let's do a little NAMO. I'll start us off briefly. Right. Flea Hardy, 39, The Plague.
The Plague. Ryan Stubnick, 46, Cradle.
Cradle. And do we have a call sign? We should come up with one.
They say squeeze.
Squeeze. Oh, because that's the move.
Yeah.
Okay, that's perfect. I love it. Well, I appreciate you, man.
Appreciate you too.
Have a good day.
Chest, we're not defined by the weight of the test. Brothers in step, we carry the flame. Different roads, but the heartbeat's the same. Every man's got a story to tell, from the valley low to the mountaintop yell. Every man's got a story inside, standing strong, we won't hide. Every man, yeah, every man's got a story. We've been broken, we've been bruised, but we rise again and we don't get to choose. Through the fire, through the fight, every man's story burns in the night. Scars on our hands, hope in our chest. We're not defined by the weight of the test. Brothers in step, we carry the flame. Different roads, but the heartbeat's the same. On a story to tell, from the valley low to the mountaintop yell. Every man's got a story inside. Different roads, but the heartbeat's the same. Every man's got a story to tell, from the valley low to the mountaintop hill. Every man's got a story inside, standing strong, we won't hide. Every man, yeah, every man's got a story. Every man's got a story. Voices rise like thunder, they roll. Truth in the pain, it's shaking the soul. Chains may rattle, but they break in time. Every man's story is yours and mine. From the struggle to the glory, every man's got a story. In the dark or in the light, we keep marching through the night. Every man's got a story inside. Every man's got a story to tell. From the valley low to the mountaintop hill. Every man to the mountaintop hill. Every man's got a story inside. Standing strong, we won't hide.